Chapter 15. "Keep them safe," I yelled to Aliona. The priestess quickly formed a protective barrier around her father, Castor, and Denali, while the rest of us armed ourselves and prepared for the fight Aeron foretold. Mariah disappeared in a flash of light and reappeared in my spiritual sea, and I was grateful for the rush of strength I felt as our powers became one. Then a large black mass grazed over the top of the mountain on the south side of the valley, and it almost looked like a dark rain cloud as it hovered above us for a few seconds.
"What the hell is that thing?"
Rebecca asked. "No idea," I muttered, "but I'm about to go find out." I shifted into my dragon form just as the shadowy mass flew directly above us, and I soared up to investigate it before it could land. Isabella flapped her wings and flew up into the sky with me, and we looked at each other with concern as we examined the mass.
"This doesn't look good, my lord,"
Mariah said with apparent unease as she paced back and forth on the beach of my spiritual sea. The edges of the cloud were nearly transparent, but the innermost area looked as black as night, and it sent a chill down my spiked spine as I got closer.
"I don't understand it,"
Isabella whispered as she reached her sapphire-skinned hand out to touch it. "No," I said firmly, and she pulled her hand back. "We don't know what it can do." Suddenly, a high-pitched clicking sound that reminded me of cicadas erupted from the cloud, and it burst into dozens of smaller shadowy figures that sailed down toward the ground. I reached out to grab one, but my talons slipped through it like it was only smoke. Isabella grasped at the small shadows too, and I looped around and tried to stop the others from their descent, but they continued to rain down onto the valley.
"Okay, you little shits, I've got something else for you," I growled.
I opened my maw and poured flames onto the raining shadows, and a few caught fire as they tumbled to the ground. They landed on the grass with a hiss, but the others landed and took another shape. The shadows turned into spiders the size of cats, and they skittered across the ground toward my people. Ravi snapped her fiery whip on the one closest to her, and the spider screeched in pain as she burned it to a crisp.
"Destroy as many as you can,"
Aeron yelled as he swung his sword at the large arachnids.
"We can't let them!"
His warning was cut off as the spiders suddenly changed direction and scuttled into one big pile.
"Oh, fuck," I said.
The shadowy spiders rolled and climbed on top of each other until they looked like one teeming mass of legs and fangs. And then my stomach dropped as the shadows began to melt together and form one huge spider. The giant spider towered over my people, and its fangs dripped with yellow venom as it gnashed its jaws together and let out another ear-piercing screech. I nosedived toward the beast with my maw open and unleashed another wave of flames onto its jet-black body. But the fire didn't destroy the shadowy arachnid like it did the smaller ones, and the creature shrieked with rage before it scuttled across the valley toward Sky and Nokomis.
"Watch out!"
Aliona screamed. Sky and Nokomis glanced at each other and split to let the spider run between them, and then they whirled around and slashed their swords into its spindly legs. The blades seemed to cut through part of the beast's skin, but they couldn't cut through the bone, or whatever the hell was under there.
"Use your magic!"
I yelled to Sky. The Naiad Nepin furrowed her brow and called on her sword's energy power, and jolts of red lightning zipped down her blade and into the spider's leg. The beast howled in pain, but then it dropped its head for a venomous strike. Sky dodged its long fangs and rolled just out of its reach before Nike and Tawa took their shot at the beast. Nike activated the Sword of Light's blinding beam and shined it in the spider's multiple eyes, while Tawa used his strength to cut one of its legs off. Then Rebecca sprinted in and slid underneath the beast's belly, and the bear demihuman began to shred its skin with her sharp claws as Tawa prepared for another devastating strike.
"Don't kill it!"
Aeron shouted.
"What else are we supposed to do?"
I asked, before I swooped down and blew another round of flames onto its back.
"Trap it!"
he replied, as he blocked a strike from the spider's fangs with his shield. Why the fuck would we want to trap this shadow spider thing? It obviously came from the underworld, and I hadn't spared a single one of those beasts' lives yet. The god of punishment had to have a reason, and I snarled as the spider tried to bite him again. Then I lowered my large form over the spider and tried to clamp down on its furry body with my talons. But my claws went right through the shadow spider, so I growled and decided to try something else to stop the beast.
"Back up!"
I yelled, before I opened my maw to release a cloud of petrification magic. The yellow-green puff of magical smoke oozed over the spider's shadowy figure, and it squealed as it tried to scuttle out of the cloud. Its remaining legs stiffened, and then its body froze, though its eyes continued to zip back and forth as it searched for an escape.
"What did you do to it?"
Aaron asked with a confused look on his face. "Petrification," I said, as I flew next to him and shifted back to my human form.
"It should be frozen like that for a while."
"Don't their eyes normally stop too?"
Isabella asked and frowned.
"Yeah, they usually look almost dead,"
Ravi agreed.
"Can you build a trap?" I asked Nokomis.
"I think so,"
she murmured as she walked across the side of the large spider with a thoughtful expression.
"I can help you,"
Sky offered.
"I have nature magic."
Nokomis directed Sky as the Naiad Nepin accessed her nature magic and pulled roots and branches from the forest next to the valley. She twisted the pieces together while Nokomis moved them into place until the shadow spider was trapped inside a wicker box. Its eyes continued to dart around at each of us, and the feeling of it watching us was unnerving. But it didn't seem to be able to get rid of the petrification on the rest of its body.
"All right, I'm taking this back with me,"
Aaron said, as he gripped one of the branches.
"Where?"
I asked. "You always just appear and disappear, so where will you take this thing?"
"So many questions," the god chuckled. "We have a home, you know."
"Like Brovin's Peak?" I wondered.
"Lord Evan,"
Rodion chided as he strode over to us.
"You ask too much of the gods."
"It's all right, Rodion," Aaron said with a grin. "He trapped the beast without questioning me, so I'll reward one of his diplomacy improvements. We have a spatial realm that allows us to see everything and be anywhere in a matter of moments."
"Spatial realms are real?"
Aliona asked as her jaw hung open in surprise.
"Yes,"
the god of punishment nodded and smiled.
"I see you've done some research into them."
"They sit between the worlds, right?"
the princess asked, and her amethyst eyes lit up with excitement.
"So you can see here and there?"
"Exactly,"
he confirmed. "Wait, so where exactly is there?" I wondered.
"Oh, you can't have all the answers yet, Evan," Aaron laughed. "Just know we can see everything we need to. For now, I'm taking this beast there, so we can understand where it came from. Hopefully it will help us figure out where this demon king is from, too."
"You don't already know?" I furrowed my brow with doubt.
"We have our suspicions," he hedged and looked around. "All right. I guess you'll probably have to cleanse the valley again, but now you can do the ceremony. I'll see you around."
"You aren't doing the blessing?" I asked.
"Nah, I have a spider to deliver," Aaron chuckled. "Someone would be here, though, don't worry."
With that, the god of punishment grabbed the spider and the nature-made trap, nodded his head, and disappeared with a flash of lightning. "Great, that was helpful," I muttered. "I guess I'd better get to cleansing." The others mulled around while I got to work. I was glad to have Mariah with me as I began the process of combining my healing power with my nature magic, and I plunged my hands into the soil to cleanse the valley of the evil left behind by the shadow spider. I cast my power out through the ground, and I was happy to feel most of the valley had been spared from the spider's venom. Then I pushed out the pieces of dark magic that had soaked into the ground and watched them evaporate like drops of black mist. After a few minutes, the fresh, clean smell of the valley had returned, and I took a deep breath of the newly cleansed air.
"Much better,"
Sky said with a satisfied smile.
"The energy is back to normal."
"Now we can get down to business," I agreed. Castor returned to his job of setting out the ingredients, and then Rodion took his place at the podium with his large text spread out in front of him. He pulled the blade of Wistonia from his robe and set it on the stand as Castor scurried over with the ceremonial bowl.
"I think we can do the ceremonies together, but we'll have to bind one and then the other," Rodion murmured as he ran his finger over the pages of his book. "I assume Nokomis will be first?"
"Yes, Your Majesty,"
the snow leopard demi-human confirmed.
"Then Denali can see it all happen before she does it." "I'm ready,"
the younger snow leopard said in a small yet firm voice.
"Okay,
You stand right here. The king directed her to a place just a few feet behind Nokomis. Then I stood across from Nokomis while Rodion took his place and began the ceremony. He used the dagger to cut the ingredients and place them in the bowl, and then I added a little bit of dragon fire to set them ablaze. The king handed Nokomis the dagger, and she hesitated for a split second before she took it with a deep breath. I held my hand out to her, and she slid the blade across my palm. Then I squeezed my blood into the bowl and opened my hand again to reveal the cut had nearly disappeared already. She smiled as she handed me the blade of Wistonia, and I took her hand and flipped it palm side up. Then I dragged the blade across her skin and turned her hand over to squeeze a few droplets into the flaming bowl. I activated my healing magic as I turned her hand back, and her skin had already begun to heal when she looked at it with surprise.
I barely felt it,
she whispered with a smile. That's my goal, I replied in a low voice and winked. Now bring the child, Rodion commanded. Nokomis turned and took Denali's hand to pull her forward. The little snow leopard looked even smaller as she looked up at me with her round, chocolate-colored eyes. So I offered a disarming smile and knelt in front of her as I held out my hand. I'll make sure you're okay, I promised in a soft voice.
Okay.
Denali nodded and put her hand in mine. I could just see Tawa out of the corner of my eye, and he clenched his jaw while I swiped the blade across his daughter's palm. I let her blood drip into the bowl and healed her hand in mere seconds, and she looked at her skin as it stitched itself back together before her eyes. There, that wasn't so bad, right? I asked.
Not at all,
she said with a grin.
Great gods of the land and sky, we present the dragon and the snow leopards for your eternal blessing as they bond their magical souls, Rodion declared, and spread his arms wide as he looked up above us.
Get ready, I whispered. Denali squeezed my hand with anticipation, and the thunder crashed above us as a bolt of lightning zigzagged across the sky. The electricity smashed down into the ceremonial bowl, and it shattered into pieces as a series of multicolored lights flashed into the air. Then a feminine form floated down from the clouds and landed gracefully in front of us among wisps of white and gray smoke. Pale blue hair was pulled away from her creamy bronze face and laid in small braids that draped down the back of a white robe. Her small mouth was twisted into a shrewd scowl, and her bright green eyes slowly scanned each of us.
Hulda, goddess of the unrevealed, Rodion breathed. We're honored.
As you should be.
Hulda cut him off and waved her hand.
I agree to bless this ceremony on behalf of my allies, not to listen to speeches and squander my precious time.
Then we offer our humble gratitude, the king said with a bow.
She's not as nice as Aeron,
Denali whispered. The young demi-human's whisper was just as other children whisper, which was not typically very quiet, and I had to stifle a laugh as the goddess whirled to face us.
Your secrets are not secrets from the goddess of the unrevealed,
she said in an icy voice.
I am not known for my kindness.
Neither is Aeron, I pointed out with a shrug, but he isn't rude. Aliona and Rodion covered their mouths as their eyes widened in shock, and even Nokomis and Tawa stared at me with their jaws nearly to their chests. But I wasn't about to go out of my way with kindness when the goddess clearly had no intention of treating even King Rodion with respect.
If I didn't already know the good you'll do for the world, I'd strike you down where you stand,
Hulda seethed.
Because I know what has yet to be revealed to you mortals, I shall let you live. You are, unfortunately, far too important to suffer my wrath today.
We are grateful for your mercy, great Hulda,
Nokomis said, and dropped to one knee.
Indeed,
the goddess replied with a disdainful roll of her green eyes.
So, with that, I hereby bless this ceremony. May you use this power to reveal all that is to come.
A quick flash of lightning blinded us all for a moment, and after a few blinks, I could see the goddess of the unrevealed had disappeared. Then a rush of power surged through my body and nearly had me staggering, and I grabbed the edge of the podium to keep my balance as the magic from the swords of strength and mercy rushed from my head to my toes. Fear, stress, worry, excitement, pain, and love poured into me like a river of emotion,
and I nearly fell to my knees. My head pounded to the beat of my throbbing heart, and my eyes swam with tears. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath as the emotions from everyone around me fluttered into my chest, and then the strength magic seemed to shove them all back and keep them at bay.
"My lord!"
Aliona gasped, as she rushed forward and took my hands.
"Are you all right?"
"It worked," I choked out. "I feel their power now, and I definitely understand why they have to work together." I cleared my throat as my vision returned to normal, and I could finally stand up straight. I probably should have been expecting something more intense when binding with two noble swords at once, but I didn't think anything would have prepared me for the onslaught of magical energy that had flooded me.
"I gave you some more of my strength,"
Denali said, and patted my hand.
"I felt like you needed it."
"I did," I agreed with a gentle smile. "Thank you."
"You're welcome."
The little snow leopard jutted her chin out with pride before she glanced at her father.
"I did it, Papa. Did you see?"
"I saw it all," Tawa said, as tears threatened to fall from his dark eyes. "I can't believe it. You're so strong, Sakala. Much stronger than I could ever be."
"I think she's learning from you,"
Nokomis countered as she put her hand on her brother's shoulder. "I promise to be a better teacher," Tawa vowed, "and you must promise to stay strong. You're very important to this mission. Can you do that?"
"Of course, Papa."
Denali giggled and flexed her bicep.
"I'm strong, just like you."
"Hell yeah, you are," I said with a grin.
"Can I see it now?"
she asked. "See what?" I cocked my head to the side in confusion.
"The place where the bad guy is,"
Denali said in a more serious tone.
"I can tell it's close. I felt it when we got to the valley."
"The breach," Rodion sighed and shook his head. "It's no place for a child."
"I know, but..."
Denali started. "Absolutely not." Tawa took her hand and dropped to his knees in front of her. "You can't go near that thing. It's dangerous."
"But I want to,"
she tried again.
"Denali, you have no idea what's in there,"
Nokomis interjected.
"Or what can come out of it?"
Ravi agreed with a shiver.
"It's terrible,"
Isabella murmured, and Skye nodded her agreement. "I think it's a good idea," I said. Everyone turned and stared at me with eyes as round as saucers, and I shrugged as I looked at Denali.
"See? Lord Evan understands,"
the little demi-human declared.
"I need to see it for myself."
"I don't know, my lord,"
Aliona murmured.
"It's unstable. The seal has been weakening."
"But it's still in place," I said. "Everyone is telling her to be strong for this mission, but right now it's just words. If we truly want her to maintain her strength and our bond, she needs to see why."
"I don't like it," Tawa grumbled and looked into his daughter's eyes. "What if it's scary?"
"Then I'll want to fight it even more,"
she replied.
"I don't want something scary to come here and hurt everyone. I'm one of the special people who can help stop it. Right, Lord Evan?"
Denali looked up at me, and I could see the mixture of innocence and warrior bravery in her dark eyes. She was young, but she was smart and understood what needed to be done. Now all she wanted was to grasp the full picture of why she had to stay strong, even once we were gone from Odraine. "Yes," I confirmed. "You're a big part of the solution."
"And you think she should see this breach?" Tawa asked as he narrowed his eyes on me.
"Yeah, I do," I said. "She wants to understand. I get that. I can fly her over and she'll be perfectly safe."
"Fly?"
Denali looked at me with her big eyes full of excitement. "Yeah, dragon style," I chuckled. "But your dad has to say it's okay first." Denali turned to Tawa, and I could practically feel the puppy dog eyes even from here. It made me slightly terrified for fatherhood as I watched him wither under her stare.
"Okay," he sighed. "You can go, but no stops. Just fly over it and come right back here."
"We will,"
Denali agreed with a wide grin before she turned to me.
"Let's go."
I smiled at her and nodded to Tawa before I stepped back away from the group to take my dragon form. As my scales rippled down my skin and I grew in size, Denali watched me with intense curiosity. Her mouth hung open and her eyes focused on my growing body until I towered over them and flexed my wings.
"I'll help you get on,"
Rebecca offered.
The lady bear lifted Denali onto my back, and the small demi-human wrapped her arms and legs around my spike. "Ready?" I asked, as I craned my neck back to look at her.
"Ready."
Denali nodded her head and tightened her grip. Then I kicked off into the sky, and the little snow leopard let out a whoop of joy as we soared above the mountains that surrounded the valley. Denali watched as we passed over the forest and the river that wound between the Miharedi Mountains. And then she took in a sharp breath as the breach came into view. The murky depths of the rip in our realm were filled with the shadowy figures of demons who swam beneath the surface. They slithered and moved in the darkness like snakes in the grass, and she shivered as she peered down at them.
"They're demons!" I called out over the wind rushing past us. "They're just waiting for the king's seal to break, so they can come into our world."
"And destroy it,"
she said in a voice I could barely hear.
"They're horrible."
"The worst," I agreed. "That's why we have to fight. We can't let them hurt our people."
"There are so many of them."
Denali wiped a lone tear from her cheek.
"If they got through, no one would survive."
"I'm afraid you're right," I said. "There's even more now than there was last time I was here. They seem to be growing in number, but I'm not sure why."
"Or there are more who have risen to the surface,"
Mariah pointed out.
"Either way, the level of danger is rising." "Where do they come from?"
Denali wondered.
I'm not sure," I admitted with a frown. "I just know they're in the underworld now, and they want to come here to destroy everything."
"Then we can't let them,"
the little demi-human decided.
"I'll give you as much of my strength as you need."
"You've done more than I ever expected," I said, as my frown faded with growing hope. "Now, let's get back to the others."
"Yeah, you need to get all the other special people,"
she agreed.
"Your mission must come first."
"You got it."
I smiled and looped around to return to the valley. When I landed, Tawa was at my side before my wings even stopped moving, and Denali slid down my side into his arms.
"Did you see what you wanted to see?" he asked her.
"Yes, Papa,"
she confirmed with a nod.
"I'm glad I decided to help Lord Evan. We can't let those ugly demons get out."
"Indeed," he murmured as he kissed her on the head. I shifted back to my human form and nodded to everyone else. Denali was good to have on our side, and one day I had a feeling she'd grow into as fierce of a warrior as her father and aunt. For now, we needed to get her home and move on to the next noble sword location.
"We should get back," I said. "We still have a lot to do, and the demons are growing."
"That isn't good," Rodion murmured and shook his head. "They're gaining confidence that the seal will break soon."
"Then we must hurry,"
Aliona agreed.
"The portal is still open. We can hurry back to Odraine, then we'll go back to Hatra to coordinate with the others."
We said our goodbyes to Rodion and Castor, and they stepped into the king's portal back to the White Jade Temple. Then we all picked up our coats before Aliona and I led our group back through her portal into the courtyard in Narsglow. The drop in temperature gave us all the shivers, and our teeth clattered as we stepped into the snow in front of the ice palace.
"Is it done?"
Isi asked as she rushed forward to look over Denali. "Yes," I confirmed. "She was perfect, as was Nokomis."
"Oh, thank the gods,"
the king exhaled and hugged his daughter.
"We were worried about you."
"Lord Evan would never let anything happen to me, father,"
she said with a glance over her shoulder at me.
"Damn straight," I growled, and then winked.
I heard the portal snap shut behind us, and then another sound caught my attention. Applause. I whirled around to find dozens of Narsglow citizens had gathered in front of the castle, and they all clapped, cheered, and whistled at our arrival. Even Nawel stood among the celebration with an excited fist pumping in the air, and I turned and looked at the king and queen with utter confusion.
"We told them what Denali volunteered to do,"
Isi explained.
"Not everything, as you requested, but we told them she and Nokomis agreed to accompany you on a mission that would save everyone on Inari."
"They're obviously pretty excited about it," Tecumseh chuckled.
"Even though we used magic?"
Aliona asked in surprise.
"Yes,"
the queen confirmed as she turned to face the crowd.
"Thank you all for your support. Our daughter and granddaughter have successfully completed their part of the mission with Lord Evan. We are one step closer to safety."
The crowd roared with more applause, and I quickly pinched myself to make sure I hadn't fallen asleep and woken up in some alternate dream world. The people of Odraine were actually okay with our use of magic.
The royals changed the laws,
Mariah reminded me.
You aren't technically criminals now that the king and queen gave you permission to use magic.
Yeah, but they didn't get rid of the ban on magic, I countered. Why are these people so happy?
Maybe because it's magic they didn't have to be scared of,
she suggested.
They can see their own people went with someone magical and returned unharmed with the promise of a brighter future.
I considered that idea for a moment. The royals may not have given the citizens all the details of our mission, but they'd given them enough to tell them we weren't there to hurt anyone, even with our magic. We only wanted what was best for everyone, and it seemed everyone could finally see that.
May I say something, Your Majesty?
Nahuel called out above the noise. The crowd quieted down as everyone turned to look at the polar bear demihuman in surprise, and he cleared his throat as he stepped to the front of the group.
Go ahead,
Isi said with a cautious nod.
When you told us Princess Nokomis and Lady Denali had left with the Dragon Lord, we all worried about how this magic could hurt them, he said carefully. Well, now that we've seen their pride upon their return, we all can see even a child was willing to trust the right person with magic. If she can do something to help this mission, then we can all do our best to be better people for her. To Denali and Nokomis!
Denali and Nokomis!
The crowd cheered and pumped their fists. Wow, I breathed. They all came together.
And you helped with that, Tecumseh reminded me. You gave them something to believe in, and you gave us someone magical to understand besides the stories of our ancestors. Odrain has a whole new future ahead of us, thanks to you and your people.
I'm glad we could help, I said with a wide smile. Then I felt a small tap on my side, and I turned to find Kiona standing next to me, with a solemn look on her face as she stroked one of her antlers with anxiety.
Evan?
She whispered.
I hate to interrupt the celebration.
It's okay, Lady Kiona. I dropped to one knee and took her hands in mine. Are you all right? What's going on?
I'm afraid we aren't done yet,
Kiona said.